everyone, and welcome back to Deeper Grooves, Musicians on Music, hosted by Cliff Beach and sponsored by California Soul Music Record Label. Today we have a very special guest hailing all the way from New Orleans to talk about his work in his brass band and his upcoming albums that are coming out this year. We'll also talk about his Live From My Living Room album that's available on Bandcamp now and a couple of other singles. He's a character and a riot and a very, 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 very good friend. Please help me welcome Glenn David Andrews.
Hello.
Hello, Glenn David Andrews. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. What's going on with you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm just over here in Los Angeles. It's sunny. How's the weather for you over there in New Orleans?
Oh, no complaints. It's just getting muggy as usual, but I wish I was in Los Angeles with you. We could go to Owls and Bells.
Oh, yeah, we certainly could. I hope when everything opens up, you guys get out and traveling, and we'll make that happen.
We're definitely going to make it happen. What we got going on? Did you check out the record?
Oh, yeah. I checked out the live album. I think that's great. I love the party atmosphere of the new live album that came out in April, so definitely want to talk about that. I listened to the two singles as well. So up on your new stuff. Of course, I had already listened to your old stuff when I was preparing to come and meet you guys. Not this last February, but the February before last at that wedding. I really, really like the Live From My Living Room album that you released in April, and I just kind of wanted to know, like, how do you pick the songs and the albums? You wrote five of the songs out of the eight on there, is that right?
Most of the songs were songs I had already written over a period of time, and then I went back to, just got back into the recovery mode again, so I've been, when you clean the soul, I'm very creative right now.
Mm.
So I got a lot of good things going, and I just wanted to give people Redemption. It was a very hard record to stand up to, and I thought instead of trying to stand up to Redemption, to do a reflect what I feel and where I'm at, and right now where I'm at, I'm in a very happy place, a very confident place, a very sexual place, a very serious place, a non-racial place, and I want to relate all that through music.
Wow, that's great. That's very positive. You feel that your recent sobriety kind of is with that? Do you feel like you have more clarity and that type of thing?
Well, you always have clarity once you're sober. You're in a sound mind and body.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a better place. You don't write as dark of music. I don't want to write dark. I don't want to sing about the quarantine blues. I'm not interested in nothing that's going on but positivity and peace and harmony, and that's where I'm at in my life, so that's what I'm trying to reflect through my music.
So what makes the difference recording this album live at home versus what you would have done in the studio?
Well, the times of what's going on right now, everybody's not in the best mood, but I was able to, at the very beginning of the quarantine, start the Bower shows in New Orleans first. Within 1 week of quarantine, I was performing. Within 2.5 weeks, I had a complete album done in two different sessions in my house, in a historical house that's 300 years old in the French Quarter. Small ceilings, lots of wood. Wasn't the most ideal place to do a record, but when you believe in yourself, and I don't want you to take this conversation as arrogance, I'm just very confident in what I'm doing. I'm just confident in my ability, I'm confident in the guy that recorded it, and I'm confident in my musicians. If you bring that confidence in there, with also the ambition to keep new projects coming out and not stop working because of the quarantine. We want to stay relevant. And I think I've been very fortunate to stay relevant during this whole time.
And I really, really am encouraged knowing that even within the current pandemic, you know, some people, they just fall by the wayside. The pandemic just overtakes them. They're not able to really output or do anything. And then some people, they find a way to use that as a catalyst to their advantage, even though maybe recording at home is not the most ideal situation, but you're still doing it, you're still getting it out there, and you're putting more positivity out there, especially, I think, when it's most needed now.
You got to have hope. I was watching a documentary 3 years ago on Angola Penitentiary, where 98% of the people will have died in penitentiary, and 99% of those people have hope. And you got to have hope. With the hope, without hope, there's nothing. So I choose to keep hope. I've only maybe stayed in my house maybe 4 days in over 2 months, maybe 4 days, only because I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm actually by my cousin right now, Ravon Andrews, a great trombonist. My other cousin, Glenn Hall, Robert Andrews. I got my own record label through Red Hot Records. And we about to release about 5 records within the next 45 to 60 days. We hungry, because when this shit open back up and everything get back to moving, I want to have my records out there first. I want to have my records already reviewed. I want to have my music already on the promoters and all those people radar. And I'm going to be the first to jump out here in the tour van and get on the road.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I definitely believe in that same mindset that you got to keep going, because if you stop, that's when the person behind you kind of gets a leg up. But if you continue pushing out and doing stuff, then, yeah, once this ends, people are going to be flooding back to get out and go see stuff and want to hear music and want to buy music and things like that. So you're going to have a jump on everybody else that just didn't do anything.
Well, we trendsetters from the Tremaine neighborhood. We don't know how to follow. We don't have followers in our DNA. We trendsetters. We're mm-hmm. going to do it our way, or we're not going to do it no way. Now, we're taking the blueprint from Louis Armstrong to Sidney Bechet to Fats Domino to Jesse Hill, all the way to the Neville Brothers and Allen Toussaint, on down to the Revert and Dirty Dozen and Preservation Hall. That's the blueprint. But mm-hmm. I'm going to take the blueprint and rewrite it my way, and that's the way I'm going to move forward. And that blueprint tells me, just because the band in Los Angeles is not recording or looking forward to September, that don't have a goddamn thing to do with me.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah, and I like that, you know, you get the blueprint from all that stuff. I really kind of understood that. I listened to your cover of Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans, and I've heard so many versions of that with Louis Armstrong and Billie Holiday, Ellis Marsalis, Harry Connick Jr., Preservation Hall Jazz Band, Jelly Roll Morton, Fats Domino, so many people. But how do you kind of then, as you said, kind of make it your own or do your own thing?
Well, for one, I've never wanted to be a football player or a school teacher or a plumber. I don't feel the need to want to deal with shit all day. I'm a musician. So I live a full musician's life. From the moment I wake up, I meditate. I thank God in my prayers and meditation. I thank God for the talent and the ability to be able to play music and make you happy as well as please myself. Musically, it confines my whole life. I don't really do much without music when I'm not playing music. If I'm just going on a date, most likely somewhere to a nice jazz club, it's something related to music. If I just go sit by my mom's house on the porch, me and her was listening to Shirley Caesar in the Caravans yesterday. So I go by my cousin's house. He's playing my cousin right now. He's practicing right now. We get ready to go to the music store to buy a microphone. So everything I do is related to music. If it's not related to music, just like this morning, I started my morning off in the first quarter walking on the river listening to Dr. Joan. I was listening to the song Life. I ended up in the Tremaine neighborhood drinking coffee, sitting on Tuba Fat Square. Now I'm in the Night Ward, the home of the R&B legend Jesse Hill and the Lasty family. So for me, everything I do is going to revolve music, even if it's listening to the chains clack around my neck to a rhythm or the way I walk just to the car. I'm musically inspired by everything that I see, feel, hear, and be a part of.
Yeah, no, I could see that, having all that inspiration around you and all those different musical styles and just being in, you know, the birthplace of so many great styles of music and so many, you know, great musicians, and then being also, you know, from your musical family and just your long legacy of already so much that you've done over these years. So then listening to gospel, you know, the Caravans and Shirley Caesar with your mom, I really did love your powerful version of We Shall Overcome, and I know that was a beacon of hope during the civil rights movement with Martin Luther King, and there's been so many versions. I've heard, you know, Joan Baez, Toots and the Maytals, Hattie Jackson. What were you kind of thinking when you were like, I'm going to cover this? I mean, I know what's going on right now. It definitely seems like it resonates in a totally different way, but what were you kind of thinking when you did that?
I was thinking hope. You got to give people hope, and everybody on that record, I have not only been to their country to perform music with everybody on that record, I have spent personal time in their house. I don't even stay in hotels with 9 of the people that was on that record in 8 different countries. I don't even stay in hotels. I stay in those people home. I know what those people are about. Those are happy people. Those are nice people. And I thought that if we can get together and spread the message all over the world that we're going to overcome this, including what's going on right now with the awful situation with the protests. Even that, you have to see the light at the end of the tunnel, which it don't seem like it. You got to have hope. And without hope, there's no ability to see the future, inspire yourself. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, it's like an opinion. Everybody got one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody got one. Well, with me, I got one, and what I got is I got the ambition to drive myself to say there's no reason for me to sit in my house, watch Netflix, eat unhealthy food, and just become a slob and depressed. And then I got to spend my money with a therapist and a psychiatrist and all that. Fuck that. I'd rather get up, play music, take a walk on the river, go to other musicians' house, play music, go by broad, fuck up, listen to music. Everything I'm going to do is relating to music.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I remember I heard Ray Charles, he was talking about music. He was like, I can not play anything. I have to play only things that I can feel, only things that give me the type of feeling that I need. Do you kind of feel the same way about the music? It doesn't really matter about the genre or the style. You can do gospel, you can do R&B, you can do jazz, you can do New Orleans funk, whatever it is. But do you feel like it's more about the feeling than anything else, or how do you approach that?
It depends what capacity I'm in. Sometimes I'm in a capacity where strictly I may be coming to L.A. to record your record and it may be a style of music that I may not prefer for. It's not that I don't prefer for it because I like it all, but I might not be comfortable with it enough to be able to play it to the best of my ability. But that's something you keep to yourself, and you still give that genre and that person the same 100% effort you would give as if you was playing with the Preservation Hall.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. That's always a good way to kind of think about it. You always do your best and forget the rest. So then, starting about like your origins and kind of how you came into music, what are your musical influences? Like, who did you listen to and who did you emulate in your style?
I've never emulated nobody. And of course, I've taken bits and pieces from other people, but mm-hmm. I don't emulate nobody. My voice is naturally gravel. I got my style from being in church. I like Big Joe Turner. I like Fats Domino. I might listen to McCoy Tyner. It all depends. And whatever floats my boat at the time, but I'm mostly a traditionalist. I'm stuck in between that 20s to 60s era of what I recall and what I would call as the great music era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the golden age of music, really. And you can definitely hear that in your voice, for sure. It's super, super gravelly, earthy.
There was a guy named Keith Wolf Anderson, who a lot of trombone players and who all us took after. Mm-hmm. I always looked at my older cousin, Revert Andrews, and saw that he always had his own style to play his way. And I took that by, you know, if you saw me play, you notice I'm always on side of the trombone players.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your trombone players not going to do that because they worry about what the next person playing and if you're out playing them. I'm more worried about having a conversation with you where we should talk together and making a productive conversation and make great music. But in that conversation, I'm going to speak my own language that I created. Like, the only analogy I can use is I'm not going to play your game because I'm going to lose.
That makes sense. Yeah, you got to play the game your way, you know, with your rules. Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. And that's good. That confidence comes through. And I like the idea of the conversation. When I got to hop in with you guys, it was like that. And it was very, very improvisational. I mean, we knew kind of the tunes, the skeleton of them, but they were just very, very different. And I'm sure if I saw you again, it would, even if you played the same thing, it wouldn't be exactly the same every time. It'd be slightly different.
I'd play the same damn infirmary 1,000 times in my life. I don't think I ever sung it played the same once. And that's something Louis Armstrong done on all his recordings. No matter how many times he recorded Pennies from Heaven or South Rampart Street Parade, it was never the same.
Yeah, because you're constantly changing. Your environment's changing. The audience is changing. How you feel is changing. You're really just kind of like a filter, and it's kind of coming through you in and out.
Right. You know, your music really goes with your mood, and most people are not able to differentiate their mood through the music. With me, no matter how I'm feeling or what I'm feeling, I'm going to stick with the happiness that the music is with. Like, I could really be having a horrible day in a world of trouble, but if I start playing music for that moment, I am Big Joe Turner or whoever, you know what I'm saying? So.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, music is what, like, music don't really fill my spirit. Music fills me to the sanctum of my soul. It's the deepest part of your soul. And if whatever you do in life, you should feel some type of way about it, because if it brings you joy and happiness through any type of pain or any pleasure, then that's something you should always gravitate to. And that's something that, it, through this quarantine, if I had nothing else, I had music, and music should change that mood.
That's true, yeah. And the more hope that you have, probably the better your mood would be, too.
If you don't have hope, you don't have nothing in life, man.
So then, since you've played with, I'm sure, many, many groups over the years, do you have a favorite group or a favorite instrumentalist or vocalist that you enjoy working with or like to work with?
I like everybody I've had the privilege to be able to perform with, and I feel very humbled that I've been able to play with the name callers. I've played with so many people in Europe that aren't name callers, but that's big in Iran or that's big in Turkey. It don't matter. Like I said, no matter how big or small you is, I just found myself in a room with Quincy Jones at the piano 2 months ago, had dinner with the Rolling Stones. I don't give a fuck who you is. As long as we get along musically, we're going to work it out.
It just means, you know, we're all just human. We're all just people. And it's like, can you play? Doesn't matter if anybody knows who you are. They can play. They're good with you. They're good with me.
If you can't play and you got an instrument in your hand, we're going to find something you can do.
Right, right, exactly. We're going to find something for everybody. It's just a big party. It's just to have fun. It's just to kind of express yourself.
You got to stay positive, and you got to look at the best in every musician, because there's a thing where a lot of people look at the musician as, well, he can't play, or he's not good enough. You know, in music, you could never master music, because every day somebody going to come along and actually be better than you. So if you focus on what you do to the best of your ability, and then you take all the knowledge and everything you have, and you pour that into somebody else without looking for anything in return, just so that they can hopefully get to a level, not same as you. The idea is to make them better than you, for them to pay it forward and make somebody better than them. And that's one of the cool things about music, and that's also one of the bad things about music, because they always, you got some people who say, Herbie Hancock, like a lot of the modern jazz players, are the best. My opinion would be, I don't think Dizzy Gillespie and all of them ain't shit if you can't play Louis Armstrong. How you going to know Miles Davis' Giant Steps and you don't know Bass to Street Blues? Like, come on, huh?
Right? Yeah, you definitely have to know your history and where it comes from. Everything is a progression, but it comes from somewhere. I always tell students and people that I work with, you got to go to their influences and then back to their influences as far back as you can go, because that's, you know, the origin where it starts.
You got to go to the origin, for example, the trombone. If you really going to understand the trombone in so many ways, you have to study Roman Empire music, because the trombone was the horn that was first used in the Roman Empire. You can't just say trombone, J.J. Higginbottom, Louis Nelson, Jack Teagarden, to understand the instrument, not the person. The instrument, you got to go way back to ancient times. The trombone been around.
Yeah, no, and I don't think everybody, you know, takes it back to that level of detail. But I think, you know, if you're really serious about your instrument, to learn, you know, for a lifelong learning of the instrument, you should definitely know your history.
I'm the next greatest trombone players in the world. And when we got finished playing, every last one, I'm always turning around and say, how the fuck you did that? I say, I don't know. And I don't,
yeah.
But I just did it.
That's all that matters, that you did it, and you did it your way. I think everybody, that's the thing. It's like there is no better, there is no worse. It's just different. Everyone has that X factor, and it's like, you know, just like fingerprints, they're all different. I think musical fingerprints are all different. You know, you could play the same instrument, play the same song, and it'll definitely be different filtering and coming through you versus someone else.
Man, you can do, like I say, everything in life has a positive spin to it. Everything has a good side. Don't dwell on the negative. Don't never look for the dark side. Always look for the positive. And then if you end up on the dark side, crawl your way out of that hole to the light. Make it positive. Make it productive. Make it work your while. And always just aspire to be good as you can and willing to pay it forward to somebody else.
Oh, yeah, I love the idea of paying it forward. I heard someone say, like, sometimes you have to plant trees that you will never sit under their shade for someone else. So I like that.
Well, you take a tree 50 years to grow. Most likely you'll never sit under that motherfucker. But 10 other generations will benefit from it.
Exactly. Yeah, no, and I think that's what we're supposed to do. I think, you know, we're not going to be here forever, but part of our legacy is that, you know, we leave something behind for others, and hopefully that sparks something in them to then, you know, pay it forward and keep it going.
Yep, that's what you got to do.
So then with all the people that you've worked with, is there anyone that you have not worked with yet that you would still like to work with in the future?
I don't know who God's going to put in my future, but I'm pretty sure the Lord has so many doors that he's sending me through right now that's going to open up other doors that eventually will open up other opportunities. I just want to be able to be humble and show a lot of humility to whoever, whenever the phone rings, to whoever that somebody is on that phone, and I'm humble enough to accept and be grateful for the call and be able to move forward with it. That's all I'm looking for.
I think that's the best way. And it's like you're just putting your best foot forward. You know, God will open the door, and then you just walk through it, and then another door will open as you continue to move forward.
You could call out names, but musically, you might not have. I've recorded with people like that before, and to be honest with you, it was kind of some of the worst music I ever recorded and done because we didn't have nothing in common. There was no mutual passion and respect for the craft or the song or the arrangement or nothing. So now I just tend to see the phone ring. If I had to pick somebody I won't play with, I like Nigel Hall, the organ player from Lettuce.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love their stuff.
I'm not going to build a bridge to jump over the bridge to go get Nigel Hall to play on organ when I could go get a 13-year-old organ player out of church in New Orleans who can play circles around his head.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, you have so many things right in your backyard, and you know, just because they may not have the name or people know doesn't mean they're not good and might be the best fit.
I prefer to play with the nine name callers because I'm one of the people, no matter how big you or other people interview me may think I am, I still don't think that I know I'll never get the accolades or the credit that some people think I deserve, which I'm not driven by that, and awards and accolades is actually a distraction. But as long as we can get on stage and mutually come to understand it and for 60 minutes make you jump, scream, dance, cry, moan, do whatever we do, then to be honest with you, in retrospect, I've won a Grammy. I've earned a gold record. I did the ultimate. And a lot of musicians who have everything can't please themselves musically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of people, whenever I hear from them, they say they're not doing it for the accolades, they're not doing it for the awards. Those are always nice to have, but not have to have. But they're doing it because they kind of have to. It's like the music is inside them, and they don't want to die with the music inside them. They got to get it out, or it'll drive them crazy.
It'll drive you fucking crazy, man.
So I definitely understand. I definitely understand that. So then, yeah, let's just kind of, as we start to wrap up, talk about what's next for you. You said, like, within the next 45, 60 days on your label, you're going to have just a bunch of records coming out. So is there anything in particular we should look out for?
I'm very ambitious. I'm going for 5 records. I'm here with my little cousin now, Ravon Andrews. His dad, Revert Andrews, played with Dirty Thunder for like 16 years. My cousin Glenn Hall just got the Grammy nomination, Rebirth, his record. I got 2-3 projects. I'm not really too sure about it at all. But if I got to put my money up to do it, I'm seriously about putting out 4 to 5 projects. And 3 of those projects, is complete. 1 is about to be recorded. Mine is actually underway. So there's really only 1 more project I need to focus on. And it's a matter of finances as well. But I'm willing to go broke to put it all out to make a big splash.
I mean, that's definitely ambitious. 5 albums and not a short amount of time. But, I mean, you guys...
Well, it's not ambitious. I got my own record label. I don't want to jump out to just my 7 records and my new record. I want to jump out and be able to see that I am the newest label in town with a real major distribution deal backed by a powerhouse label. And I'm coming to make a dent in the music scene. It's like, I'm not getting in it to win a draw. I'm not getting in it to lose. I'm not trying to be the number one contender. I'm trying to be the champion.
That's right. That's right. There's no award for second place.
No, fuck second place. I'm not even interested.
So that sounds like, you know, you really kind of not only have the music under your belt, but the music business under your belt. And so is there anything particularly about the music business, especially starting your own label, starting your own thing? We have our own label as well, out of necessity. So is there anything you would let our audience know about kind of why you think it's important to kind of know the business of the music?
If you don't want to be broke, you know, I watched the documentary that was Little Richard. And if you saw Little Richard was buried at the school that he went back at the height of his fame, the place where he was buried, that's the school he went back to at the height of his fame, because Little Richard's first 3 managers told him they was going to make him famous instead of being rich. So he went back to school, and he learned the business. Now, Little Richard died with over $31 million in his bank account. Mm-hmm. He learned how to become rich, plus being famous.
Yeah. I mean, the money is with the label. The money is with the record.
Yeah, you got to know publishing. You got to know copyright. You got to know management. It's the same as putting your own band on the road. Like, I've had a manager for the last 12 years, and now I don't. I don't mind buying my own plane tickets, making my own budget. I'm the one who take all the risks anyway, so why should I not keep that 15-20% in my pocket? And that way, it will soften the risk a little lighter.
Yeah, especially at this point in the game when you've been doing it so long and you know really, like, what it takes. then you kind of have a good head on your shoulders. Plus, no one's going to work as hard for you as you.
You know better, you do better, you move forward, and you look forward to getting better. But once again, I can never reiterate this enough. You got to stay humble in every aspect of everything you're doing. You got to show a lot of humility. Yeah, I might know the business, but I got to also remember I didn't know the business. I might be sober, but I also got to remember what it was like last time to be dope sick. I might be getting money, but I got to remember what it was like to be broke. So you got to stay humble when you get it.
No, I like that attitude. I think we need more of that, less ego and more humility across the world, less entitlement and more understanding that opportunity shows up often with work clothes on. You got to work for it. It's not going to just be given to you or handed to you.
Less entitlement is a good name of a song. I'm going to remember that. Less entitlement.
Nice. I like that. So then what do you think you want your legacy to be? Like, what do you want people to remember for you for most? And I know you said you don't like to talk about the past. You're looking towards the future, which I do like.
I haven't developed a legacy yet, and hopefully, let's say about 2 or 3 weeks before the doctor say I'm going to die, call me back in about 45 years, and I'll answer that question.
Okay. All right. We'll hold you to it. We'll hold you to it then. So then,
I'm about 85. Fuck, I'm gonna be talking to you a long time playing music with you.
Yeah, no, I, me too. I say let's, you know, iron sharpens iron. Let's keep, let's pushing. Let's go. Let's grow, for sure.
What kind of music are you working on right now?
Oh, right now, you know, we got a new Funk 45 vinyl that's about to come out next. The digital single comes out this month, and then next month, the vinyl actually drops. And then we have a couple more records that are in the can that we'll be pushing out digitally the rest of the year. But we've been doing a lot of work with Spotify. We have our last single on there. It just went over 300,000 streams. So we're just kind of pushing it, building it just purely on our own, independent, and making opportunities for other musicians underneath us now. So very excited to look up to you.
If you got some music, you have no words to the song. Won't you send me over a track or two in the next day or two, and let me write some words to it, and let's collaborate on the song, man.
Yeah, I'll definitely collaborate. I would love that. That'd be awesome.
I'll send you a text and remind you of it today when I hang up from you.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. I'll definitely put that on my calendar, on my to-do list. That would be a lot of fun. So then, do you have any advice for anyone kind of up and coming now, just starting out, like musicians coming up? What would you kind of give them as advice on what to do?
Be prepared to be broke and work your ass off.
You can't. I think pretty much all of you disagree with it.
That's the reality of it. Be prepared to have a lot of great experiences, a lot of travel, a lot of happy days, but a lot of less money.
Yeah. You don't really get into it for the money. The money might come at some point, but even if it never comes, at least you can look back and see all the records you did and the places you played and that you left your stamp, you left your mark.
I'd have left to go over 25, 30 countries. I would never stream that. That's like ultimate for me compared to any money. And I granted, at this stage of my life, I need money. I want money. But I refuse to let my life be driven by money. I just refuse.
Oh, yeah. Because it's empty. It's like even if you got all the money, it's not going to, you know, money can do a lot of things for you, but it can't do everything.
Oh, no, it do say something. It actually not going to get you half of what you think.
Yeah, no, yeah. At the end of the life, if you just have money at the end and nobody around to show for it or celebrate with you, then that's not good.
Can't take it with you. You just hit it on the nose. Your damn show can't take it with you.
Yeah, that's right. You never see a bank or a trailer following the hearse. You cannot take it with you.
That's all you can do. You can't take it with you.
Well, I definitely appreciate you coming on and chatting with us today. I really have learned a lot about you, and I'm looking forward to working on something down the road. I think that would be really fun for me.
Fuck the down the road thing. I'm real serious about this. I got a Louisiana radio out there because they gave me this label, and I'm really been. I've collaborated with over 20 people in the last 2 months. So if you got a track, even if it's not fully complete, I'm real good at words and lyrics. Send it to me in the next day or two, seriously.
Okay, I'll look through the catalog, and then I will send something over.
All right, thank you so much. I think if you need more of the interview, you need me to correct something, anything, feel free to call me back.
I most certainly will. We'll be talking again soon.
All right, thank you, my brother.
You take care, my brother.
Thanks, everyone, for listening once again to Deeper Grooves, Musicians on Music, hosted by Cliff Beach and sponsored by California Soul Music Record Label. Man, I had a blast talking with our guest today. Glenn David Andrews about his brass band, his latest albums, his record label, and everything that is to come from the New Orleans scene. I hope you enjoyed listening to it just as much as me. I would like to thank also our recording engineer who mixed and mastered this recording, Tim Hall, and 1192 Studios. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, you can come back and listen anytime on www.californiasoulmusic.com/deepergrooves. Until then, take care, stay safe, and keep the music alive.